Hello and welcome to episode 77 of MMO Weekly, presented as always by Chitty's Cheesesteaks. I'm your host, Sal Manzo, joined this week by The Athletic's Tim Britton. Tim, thank you so much for joining us this week. Feels like the Mets have plenty more rainouts than they have wins to start this year, which is something I don't think any of us started for 2024. But thanks a lot for coming on with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. A little easier without a game the last couple of nights to make some time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure everyone rather these games going on, especially a team like the Tigers, where they're going to have to figure out, I guess now, they'll have the doubleheader tomorrow. But if, hopefully weather permits again, if not, they'll have a real mess on their hands. But just kind of a strange start to the season for the Mets, I feel like, in more ways than one here.
Yeah, certainly a stop and go start with three rainouts now in their first, six home games. Sure. And it does create some complications for, Detroit with their travel going back for their home opener on Friday, but certainly for the Mets with their pitching schedule over the next 2 weeks. You know, they were supposed to have the off day Thursday, and you think about a team that's looking to replace Tyler McGill in its rotation, that the flexibility that off day would have presented them with, they could have gone with a fill-in starter in Cincinnati or Atlanta. Now you've got 15 games in 14 days. You're going to need basically two fill-in starters in that stretch because you need someone to make up for the doubleheader now. So it's a complicated process for Carlos Mendoza and Jeremy Hefner to figure out. This was the stretch of the season we thought they might go to six starters even. So this is it's just kind of adding an extra layer of complexity to what has not been a fun start for the Mets.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned, Tyler McGill going down, obviously going on the 15-day IL with the shoulder. You mentioned the Mets are, like you said, going on a stretch of 15 games and 14 games there. Mentioned starting pitching. They're going to need probably a couple more there. They did make a signing today. We can start with that. The Mets brought in former Met killer Julio Teheran. Obviously, people remember him in his Braves days. But obviously a move, I guess, like you said here, it's just going to need arms and starters here to kind of fill out the next couple of weeks. Just want to kind of get your, reactions, thoughts to kind of that signing.
Yeah, I mean, Teheran, who's always younger than you think he is, because it feels like he was a Met killer when, Dan Uglow was still in Atlanta.
Sure.
Like that version of it, that Atlanta team. I think you could look at this a couple different ways. On the one hand, it's not a good look when you tout your starting pitching depth all of spring training, and then in the before you get on your first road trip, you have to sign someone externally to potentially start for you on that road trip. That's not ideal for the Mets. Obviously, they've gone through a couple of different injuries with Senga and now McGill, and the circumstances around the roster. This wouldn't be as big an issue if it weren't happening right away. They'd be able to call up Jose Buto or Joey Lucchesi, no problem. They might still be able to get around that a little bit with Buto in the doubleheader if they wanted to go in that direction. They still need someone like Teheran to start probably Sunday or Monday against the Reds or Atlanta. Teheran, you had a nice stretch of starts last year for Milwaukee. He didn't continue that, in perpetuity for them. But a guy that David Stearns has at least some level of familiarity with from that experience, I guess, when he was serving as an advisor to the front office there. And a guy that the Mets were interested in even before these injuries. They were interested in him in the early part of spring training before Teheran signed in Baltimore. So it made sense. I think they'd be looking into him even if McGill hadn't gone down as just another layer of starting depth with major league experience. But they might need to press that button and use him in the major leagues a little earlier than anyone would want.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, like you said, they're kind of pushing the button a little quick there, quicker than they thought. Obviously, Severino didn't have a good first start there. Like what you saw out of Sorum Manaea. Same thing really with Jose Quintana, too. I thought he pitched a fine game that first, game of the year. But do you think with the injury to McGill and then just kind of with how we're seeing here that they've gotten so kind of light, so to speak, with the starters, with guys like Vassell and Christian Scott, maybe does this push up their timelines at all? Maybe to come up in 24 and make some starts here is just still probably getting more seasoned down in the minor leagues a little bit, at least the first half of the year or something like that, and coming up in the summer. I'm just kind of curious there if that pushes anything forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think the plan A is always for those guys to be kind of secondary options at the big league level this season. If you ask me a month ago, do I think Mike Vassell and Christian Scott will start at the major league level this season? I said yes. Yeah, like I don't think it's just the injuries that make them bigger options in 2024. At the same time, I wouldn't have thought of them as options in April or May. And now you might get to that point. You know, who knows what else happens in the rotation? Mets fans well aware that injuries don't happen one at a time all the time. It can happen in waves for them. I think the Mets would prefer if those guys got more time in AAA. You know, especially a guy like Scott who just is starting at AAA. Vassell had some time last year. To get that season. Dominic Hamill in that group also, a guy who's just making his AAA starts now. I think if they need to make a move and those guys are the best options, I don't think their relative youth or inexperience will prevent David Stearns and the Mets front office from pulling that trigger and calling those guys up. You know, you look at what Scott did at the end of spring training when he made that one start in a Grapefruit League game and looked, you know, as good as any Mets starter had all spring. Certainly that's tantalizing talent there, a guy who looks like he could be useful at the major league level pretty soon.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, like you said, it definitely is tantalizing. I guess at this point, it's going to be the Mets as far as holding themselves back when they really feel like, you know, they have to get those guys and give them that sort of experience in 24. So you see what you kind of have from, you know, the season and beyond. But I want to stick with the pitching. I mentioned Luis Severino a little bit. Obviously not a good first start there. Unfortunately, spring numbers don't necessarily, translate over to the regular season. But I just kind of want to get your thoughts on Severino's first start there. And if, you know, there's cause for concern as far as, you know, the pitcher that he's been the last few years, and obviously that's an upside signing, but, you know, 12 hits in your first start, secondary pitches really didn't look confident with them at all. I'm just kind of curious your thoughts there.
Yeah, it's not a great sign. You know, after that game, Carlos Mendoza asked about Severino's outing, said, you know, his location wasn't great. The slider didn't have great bite on it and the fastball didn't have the ride he needs. It's like, well, what else is there? You know, those are three pretty important elements of a good Luis Severino start. He didn't have any of them.
Sure.
So at the same time, you know, you can imagine if Zach Short makes that play in the first inning, mm-hmm. that outing looks a lot different. You know, those three runs are unearned, at least at that stage. And maybe things go differently for Severino beyond that. It snowballed on him a little bit in that first and later in the start as well. So, you know, it's still one start. It kind of confirmed your priors if you were a pessimist about Luis Severino in a way that, you know, other people thought the spring, you know, gave reason for optimism and hope. So I think it's a big start for him coming up this weekend in Cincinnati. Not an easy place to pitch. Neither of these places the Mets are going to on this road trip are. So I think we're going to, you know, they're going to put that starting rotation through a little bit of a cauldron on this road trip. This April schedule for the Mets is tough, you know, beyond that part, beyond the road, beyond the 15 games in 14 days now. Sure. You know, you've got the Dodgers, you've got the Giants. Later in the month. So it's not an easy run. I think it's actually the hardest part of their schedule, which I did a little analysis on last week. So you're going to find out real soon kind of whether this rotation can handle that kind of opposing lineup. And Severino is, you know, if someone's going to step up for them, they really need Severino and or Manaea to be that guy to join Quintana and Senga at what they hope is a reasonable top of the rotation. Manaea looked really good, looked capable of doing that in a way Severino didn't in their first starts.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I was very pleased with what they saw at Manaea. Obviously, we see that new sweeper he started or developed with last year and had success with. The fastball looked good. Was able to kind of get up. It looked like 95, 96 when he needed to and was able to command it well, especially up in the zone, it looked like. Obviously, it was 5 1/3 or 5 2/3 no-hit ball he threw, so that was nice to see. Before I kind of get into Jeff McNeil and that whole kind of strange opening series that happened, obviously the Mets are, you know, starting 0-4, first time since 2005. And that's the same time another rookie manager in Willie Randolph was at the helm here for the Mets. Obviously Carlos Mendoza, it's kind of a tough start. I'm just kind of curious just as far as, you know, how a young manager like this can, you know, with a tough start and things, obviously, you know, you're talking about the already dipping in, signing, you know, someone like Julio Teheran and the scarcity of their starting pitching. How can someone like Mendoza as a rookie manager stop this kind of from spiraling, so to speak, to talk about how hard the schedule is in April? You know, you can really, things can kind of get out of hand quickly, so to speak, I think in the next couple of weeks. So I'm just wondering how Mendoza can maybe kind of deal with that. And, you know, if anything he's spoken to, you know, as far as the first week here.
Yeah, I mean, you can't win a division in April, but you can lose it. Sure. We've seen that in the past. You know, with Mendoza, it's such a strange start to his tenure. We've had that with a couple different Mets managers of late. But, you know, having the suspension for his third game, like being suspended for a game before he even won a game, right. That's not something that a lot of managers have gone through. And you can tell, you know, as with anyone, I think, that it's weighing on him a little bit, that he would very much like to not be a week into his tenure as a major league manager and not have a win yet. So I think he'd be very excited if they at least got one on Thursday against the Tigers. You know, it's a little early to read much into how he's handling it. He's said kind of the right things, which are that the team needs to play better, that they're not doing things the way that they would like them to, that the offense is kind of being passive early in the count and expanding late, that the pitching staff is not, you know, we mentioned his quotes on Severino, not getting the job done overall. You know, that clubhouse itself has gone through some stuff like this before. They've had good seasons, a really good season 2 years ago and a rougher one last year. They're keeping the positivity up. It is four games. You know, you look, there are, I think it's seven teams in the wild card era who have started 0-4 and made the playoffs. It's not unheard of. It happened last year with the Phillies. It happened three years ago with Atlanta, who won the World Series. You know, it's not like starting 0-4 in an NFL season, but because of the way things can snowball in this sport, and like we've mentioned, the schedule is not easy. You do want to get ahead of it as quickly as you can and get back to 500 as quickly as you can. So we'll see again over this next week or two. You know, if they're sitting there, if they have a decent road trip, go maybe 3-4 on the road trip and are sitting at a better record, only a game or two under 500, you feel a lot better about where they are than if they go 1-6 on that road trip and all of a sudden they're 2-11 or something like that. That's a pretty big hole to try to crawl out of.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, hopefully, like you said, they can string a couple of wins. They have a decent road trip, like you said. I kind of talked about it before, and I feel like this ties into just kind of a weird first week for Mendoza. Obviously, you know, opening day, you have the slide with Hoskins and McNeil. The next day, they throw at Hoskins, that whole deal. Obviously, McNeil very upset. I just want to kind of get your take on all that. And just it felt like it set the Mets up for just kind of a poor weekend, so to speak. Just like and I don't know if I want to call it poor attitude, so to speak, but it really just kind of felt like it knocked them off their track, you know, at least for that opening series with Milwaukee. But I know they have obviously had, you know, history with Hoskins in the past in Philly, but I'm just kind of curious to get your thoughts on something that seemed kind of strange to me.
Yeah, so it was definitely a strange way to open the season, you know, with Hoskins, a slide that I think we could all agree was legal but late, you know, and McNeil, I think, probably not mad just about that one slide, but probably a bunch of others that he's taken from Rhys Hoskins in the past, took issue with it. You know, I thought it was strange. The Brewers were a lot quicker out of the dugout than the Mets were, which, you know, makes sense. It's their guy kind of being stood over and yelled at.
Right.
But then the way it was handled Saturday, you know, the Mets, you know, Hoskins comes through with two big hits before Johan Ramirez throws behind him in a way that, you know, he can claim that it was a two-seamer that slipped. It slipped by a lot, if that's the case. You know, I think there was probably an intent to go inside on some level with that pitch. And that's, you know, it feels late to do that. You know, there was a base open when Hoskins came up in the first inning. And maybe you're concerned if you're Luis Severino, if you throw too close, maybe you get ejected. But this is such a tough line to balance. And we've heard from Mets fans for 2 years, mad that they didn't retaliate for the number of players they had hit by pitches. That, you know, this is the cost of doing that, of coming back at someone, is your bullpen is short, your starting rotation is messed up because you need to call someone up for your bullpen being short, and now you have questions about, does the manager know what he's doing in terms of getting the whole roster kind of pulling on the same rope? Those are big level questions to be trying to answer four games into a season. Probably don't need to be that big level at this point, but yeah, definitely not the way they wanted the season to start in more ways than one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I share that sentiment. It just feels like they're a day late and a dollar short with a lot of things. You know, like you said, Severino, as far as you, maybe doesn't want to get thrown out of the game, that sort of thing, I understand. But like you said, seventh inning after Hoskins, I think, had four RBIs already on the day. You know, it's a bad look there. And it just, it kind of felt a little bit like, you know, the wow, like Hostens was doing, you know, a little bit like, you know, you're not playing well, you know, momentum really kind of shifted Milwaukee's way. It felt like the whole series, especially defensively too. Mets had a lot of balls that Milwaukee made good plays on, but you know, just a weird way to start the season. Obviously we know the history with Hoskins, but it just felt like kind of took the wind out of the sails. And for somebody like McNeil, who hasn't started the year off well offensively too, frustrates me also a little bit to, you know, kind of, to see something, what it felt like, get the better of him. Hopefully it doesn't stay like that, but, you know, they can hopefully move forward there. On a positive note with the offense, though, I can't not mention Francisco Alvarez. He's had a good start to the year. I think we're seeing, you know, finally, we saw it last year, but especially with spring training this year, and, you know, obviously we can do the season this year, just kind of, you know, what the Mets have been clamoring over and hoping that this kind of player can be. Can I just want to get your thoughts on Alvarez and, you know, what you kind of see him turning into, you know, for this year for the Mets?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard for a couple of years of what this guy is capable of, and we saw it in more concentrated flashes last year, probably a year earlier than the Mets or anyone else expected him to be the everyday catcher in the major leagues. So for him to come out and have this kind of start, he had a nice spring, certainly showed what he could do with his arm behind the plate. That didn't translate quite as well as they would have liked to that first series against Milwaukee, but that wasn't entirely his fault, obviously. But for him to do what he's done offensively gives them a lift, because when you look at their lineup, you know, you still feel pretty good, but you know, independent of the starts that they've had, you still feel pretty good about Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor. You feel reasonably good that McNeil is going to be a better hitter than he was last year.
Sure.
You've got Alonso and then, you know, eventually JD Martinez in the middle of that lineup. And then the questions are kind of the second half of it. You know, what is Marte going to give you? He's looked good. What is Beatty going to give you? He's looked pretty good. What are you going to get out of Harrison Bader? You know, you're not sure yet. But Alvarez is the other guy in there that you thought might be able to make the biggest leap out of that group. And he's showing that so far. And one of the things that I think really makes him appealing to Mets fans, what they really like seeing, is while the rest of this team has looked a little bit lethargic or lifeless so far, sure, Francisco Alvarez sure hasn't. You know, he got the hustle double the other night. He's excited all the time. And that's something he brings to the park every day. I remember the first time meeting him when he was in Brooklyn, and getting a sense, you know, like he's running his team through the workouts pregame. He's leading them that way. That's such a great quality to have in a prospect who's the best player on the team at that point in his career, and such a great quality to have in your everyday catcher now at the big league level. So I think, you know, everything points to Francisco Alvarez being a really good player and maybe even better than that in the major leagues pretty soon.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, especially with the energy part, right? That's something that I think that's as far as, you know, offensively aside, starting the year, that he really has a lot of energy. You mentioned that hustle double the other night. He seems to really be excited to have, you know, making the most of his opportunity. And like you said, I think that, you know, hoping that this could be turn out better than anybody even thought. So, you know, seeing him hit behind Alonso and eventually JD Martinez should be hopefully some fun. But I do want to round out the show. You mentioned Martinez. Just want to, you know, get if you give us anything on, you know, his progress down in Port St. Lucie coming along, and when you think we might be able to expect to see JD in the lineup for the Mets here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so he's been taking kind of 6 to 8 at-bats a day in right. Port St. Lucie. You know, the backfield games there are not exactly regulation games. He can lead off every inning if he wants to. The question for the Mets is, does he feel comfortable moving directly from that level of competition to the major leagues, or does he want kind of an intermediate step, which would be going to an affiliate, whether that's you know, Brooklyn to get kind of the high A guys, whether it's all the way up to Syracuse and getting the triple A guys. You know, that might be dependent on weather, as we've seen this week, or where those teams are. You know, the earliest he can play for the Mets, barring an injury, you know, it's the same deal with the pitchers that we were talking about earlier. He's got to be down there. He was optioned at the end of spring training. He's got to be down there for 10 days unless there's an injury. So that would set him up. You know, the earliest he can come back is Sunday in Cincinnati. I would think that's an aggressive timeline. I wouldn't expect him necessarily to be in the lineup that day. But I do think, you know, sometime next week, whether it's in Atlanta or back home, is when I would expect JD Martinez to be in the Mets lineup, batting fourth behind Pete Alonso.
Well, I know Mets fans can't wait to see that. Hopefully, you know, we'll get a lot more of that by next week and a lot less of Tyrone Taylor batting cleanup, but that's a whole nother thing. I can't get too mad at lineups a week into the season. I know you see people see that and they get upset, but I think we should like get maybe a month under our belt or something like that before we get too mad. And like a good friend of mine kind of said, it's a revolving door at DH. Doesn't really matter until Martinez is back anyway. Once he's the guy, that's your cleanup hitter. So I agree there, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later. But that's going to wrap up the show this week. Hopefully the Mets can get a couple of games in, maybe one or two if the weather permits between now and next week. We'll see. But until then, as always, let's go Mets.